Welcome back to the home of explanations. More than money, you've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. We started here at 8 o'clock. For some of you, you're not even aware that Saturday has two 8 o'clocks. If you're just joining us, welcome indeed. And we're happy to serve you in any way that we are able. If you missed our first hour, rest assured you will be able to access that Monday or so, plus or minus, on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. We keep our podcast there, and you get to review. And we know that this works. We know that lots of you are listening because we had an issue this week, and issues happen, and we're getting it fixed. But a number of you called and said, hey, you got an issue. So that means that we are absolutely doing the right thing by putting in the effort to put the podcast on the website. Lots of you are accessing them upon your convenience, which is exactly why we're doing it. And for all of you who were kind enough to reach out and say, hey, you got an issue, thank you. That is very, very, very kind of you to do that. In the absence of somebody raising their hand, I would not have known. And now we know, and that's fantastic, and we really appreciate that very, very much. If you would like to join us in this hour with questions, comments, concerns, we're happy to serve you. A number of ways, 610-720-7900, lets you call. And as the first two callers have done, if you're too shy to talk on the radio, you explain it to John. John explains it to me. I misinterpret everything, and I answer a totally different question. No, we'll do the very best we can. So don't feel put upon if you have a question. Or if you want to remain anonymous as well, you can do it by email, gene@askmtm.com. And our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, has a listen live button, so you can call your friends all over the country and say, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. And he's very, very helpful. Talks in English so you can really understand him. And trust me, he's not that funny. He's just not that funny. So don't make the effort based on entertainment value. But if you want some great information at the low, low introductory cost of zero, absolutely free, we're here to help in any way that we are able. 610-720-7900. Young lady had a comment about folks who are going from one home to another. And her comment was, aren't there real estate companies that will assist people who are selling one home and purchasing another through the same company? And the answer is absolutely yes. You're absolutely right. If you are in that position, perhaps check with your realtor or survey a number of realtors and say, here's what we're looking at doing. We'd like to sell our home. We'd like to buy a new home. Here's the locales. Here's the geography. Here's the dollar amounts. Can you guys help? And the answer might very well be, well, heck yes. How cool would that be? And now understand, that makes sense. This is good business. They're not doing it because it says Salvation Army on their door. They're doing it because let's just pick a number. Let's say you're selling a house for $200,000 and buying one for $3,000. If they earn a 6% commission on those sales, we're looking at $12,018. We're looking at $30,000 worth of cash flow. That's a serious motivation for them to be as helpful as they possibly can. So is that possible? The answer is absolutely it is. Check with your realtor. Check with various realtors. See what opportunities might arise. Thank you so much to that young lady for making that observation. That's another good idea. Will that work for these folks? Don't know. It depends. Interesting question. Very interesting question. Young lady, married. She and her husband have IRAs. They have named a nephew as a contingent beneficiary. Contingent's a very important issue here. Contingent, picture for a moment. Diane and I are married. I pass away. Diane gets my IRA, of course. Diane passes away. I get her IRA, of course. What happens if we're both gone? Well, that's the reason for a contingent beneficiary. If the beneficiary you name as your primary recipient of anything, an IRA, an annuity, a life insurance contract, those kinds of things, if they are either deceased or unwilling, they might very well say, no, thank you. I don't want it for whatever reason, lots of reasons. You need somebody who, now where does it go? Well, in this case, it's a nephew. And the question is, does he have immediate access to that money? The answer is both yes and no. Well, now, how can that be? Well, it will depend. Huh? There's a shock. It depends. It will depend on both his age and his circumstances. So, for example, does he have access? The answer is yes, he has access. Will he want access? Ooh, I don't know. Let's give you an example. Let's say the IRA is $100,000. Let's say that the nephew is 35 years old. Aunt and uncle are gone. There's $100,000. Can he cash in the IRA? Yup. Immediate access. However, the IRS is standing in the wings, very interested in this transaction, because whatever money comes out of the IRA and goes to the nephew is 100% income taxable. Now, in an inherited IRA, there is no penalty. A lot of you are out there thinking, wait a second, if he's 35, he's not old enough to take the money out, there's going to be a penalty. No, there is an exception for inherited IRAs. There are no penalties prior to age 59 and a half, but you still pay tax. And let's just paint an interesting scenario. 35-year-old nephew is doing quite well, has a substantial income, finds himself in the 40% income tax bracket. Well, eliminating the IRA and taking the full distribution will mean, are you sitting down? Are you standing up? It doesn't matter. It's the same number. He will lose $40,000 to income taxes. Is that normally the best option? Not normally. Now, is it sometimes? Sure. It depends, but not normally. In most cases, folks are trying to reduce that income tax bill as low as they can. And in one case, they can do what's called a five-year distribution, which means they can pull money out either bit by bit over 5 years, or within 5 years have to take the whole thing out. So they might wait 5 years and then take a lump sum. Or in some cases, they can do what's known as a stretch IRA. And a stretch IRA allows them to take it out over a life expectancy and reduce the distributions dramatically. And as a result, reduce their current income taxes dramatically. So it's a very interesting set of options that the nephew might face. And in almost every case, very wise, very, very wise, to almost immediately after receiving an IRA as an inheritance, to sit with either a financial advisor or a tax professional, an enrolled agent or a CPA, and a tax professional or financial advisor. Fortunately, you can find both of those under the same roof in the Holy Lands, in between Bethlehem and Nazareth. Let us know. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Al. Al, good morning, sir.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. How may we serve you?
Sir, I've got a number of bonds, E-bonds and I-bonds, which I purchased some time ago and put them away. I'm over 80 years old now.
Congratulations.
And I'd like to know what I can do with them. I've got about $40,000 worth, half and half, E-bonds, double E's and I.
Very good. Have any of these reached maturity?
I don't know.
very good. Very good. No, that's great. For everyone listening, bonds, a lot of folks are aware that bonds are issued for a certain period of time during which the EE bonds double. So if you give them $50, it becomes $100 of value. And typically they're sold at a discount so that a $100 bond is sold for $50 and then it doubles. But it will continue to earn interest for 30 years. At the end of 30 years, it no longer pays interest. You don't have to cash it in. You don't have to liquidate them, but it no longer pays interest. So one of the first things you'll want to do, there are several websites that you can Google to tell you what the value of each of your bonds currently is and whether they have reached the 30-year limit. You take each bond one by one, enter them into the website, and it will tell you exactly what they're worth and what interest rate they're paying, et cetera. Let me ask you a question before we get too far along. Do you need income from this block of money at this point?
Well, I'd like to start considering that because I have grandchildren. I'd like to start giving some money to them.
Very good. One of the things that you might consider is instead of cashing in bonds and gifting them cash, if their grandchildren, presumably in a fairly low tax bracket, if you were to gift them the bonds, they could cash them in their tax bracket and likely pay no income tax whatsoever.
Oh, that's terrific.
So if you could counsel either with a financial advisor or a tax advisor, or maybe even if you've got a good relationship with your local banker where you could sit with them and have them take a peek, because many of the commercial banks will assist you in liquidating government bonds. If you can sit with someone that has this kind of calculation, confirm that your grandchildren that you're trying to assist have either a lower tax bracket or no income tax bracket, then this transfer of the bonds from you to somebody that you love and allow them to get all of the income without any taxation, that might actually end up being the best choice for you.
That is wonderful advice. Thank you very much.
You're very kind, sir. I appreciate your call very much. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. Happy to help. Sometimes it just takes that one question. What are we trying to do here? What is our goal? And in Al's case, his goal was to help somebody else that he really cares about. And that may end up being very, very useful. And if we can avoid paying even $1 to the government, I'm the happiest guy, because they're just going to waste it every single place you look. Gentleman too shy to talk on the radio ask, is there an average rate on a reverse mortgage and is the interest compounded? I don't know. I mean, I know the second part of interest is compounded in the sense that if you borrow $100,000 and let's say the interest rate is 4%, at the end of a year you owe them $104,000. At the end of 2 years you owe them $104,000 times 4%. So yes, it accelerates just like any other mortgage. It's just like any other debt that you would accumulate. I don't know what the average rate is on the reverse mortgage. If our friends at AFC Reverse Mortgage are listening, John or Tiffany, they can call in and tell us, give us an idea. I don't know if there may be different interest rates depending on what program that you're investing in. I'm sorry, that you're accessing borrowing from. That reminds me, we should get John over here and have a reverse mortgage on air and do a workshop and get down that. I got to make a note. Somebody out there, make a note. Yeah, just send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Say, hey, dear Gene, you asked me on air to send you an email to remind you to get a reverse mortgage expert on your show. Well, thank you. That's very, very kind. 610-720-7900, speaking of kind, but in all the wrong ways. Email, my 44-year-old daughter has gotten herself into significant credit card debt, $22,000. Oh, that's painful. I just even reading that's painful. This is the third time she has dug this kind of hole, and she's asking us to help her out again. I'm reading between the lines. They've paid off this twice before. How should we go about helping her without setting ourselves up to do it again in a couple of years? Boy, being a parent is challenging. It's also glorious. Father's Day means a lot to me. Three amazing daughters, all so talented, so amazing, so full of love, and they all have great hearts and just I'm blessed. I'm one of the most blessed human beings you will ever meet. But this is challenging. 44 is not 24, is not 14. If this is the third time she has racked up $20,000+ in credit card debt, I don't know how to say it other than you need to just stop helping because your help is not helping. You're helping pay off debt, but you're not helping your daughter. She's still acting 14. I would strongly suspect that there are other issues in her life that cause you real concern as well. Strongly suspect. And I would also strongly suspect, just from the tone of your email, that you know that this isn't going to solve the problem. What I would recommend you do is something rather radically different than what you've been doing. I would recommend, instead of giving her money and paying this off, I would recommend that you provide her with credit counseling. I would recommend that you provide her with education, support in that respect. One of our radio competitors is a guy named Dave Ramsey. By the way, as a financial advisor, he's pretty stinky. He has a lot of ideas that just make no sense whatsoever. As a credit counselor, as a person who advises, the vast majority of his callers, listeners, et cetera, are questioning how to get out of debt. I have never found a program better than his Financial Peace University. Are there others? I'm sure there are. Are they as good? I don't think so. Financial Peace University costs a few bucks. I think it's 99, 100, 120 something. So maybe mom and dad, you spring for that and you tell your daughter, you got to go. If she goes, she will learn skills that will allow her to dig out herself. If she refuses to go, I think you figured this out. She has no interest in helping herself, in which case the problems are bigger than paying off credit card debt. And you've got to let her, you've got to let her figure that out. Credit counseling, sure. Absolutely. Financial Peace University, I think it's fantastic. Generally conducted throughout the Lehigh Valley and well beyond, all over the country. Various churches particularly sponsor it. I know our church sponsors it on regular occasion. And if she attends and does everything that the program tells her, she will have the pride and satisfaction of having dug out herself, and I guarantee you she'll never return. I will say the reverse as well. If you pay off her credit card debts this time again, I guarantee you she will learn nothing other than mom and dad are a soft touch and I can just abuse them time after time after time. Please don't do that. 610-720-7900. Let's go to the phones. We talk to Paul. Paul, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Gene. Enjoy your program.
Thank you, sir. How may we serve you?
I have two quick questions, if you have time.
Sure.
Number one, my wife and I both, she's retired, I'm semi-retired. I still have a little business I still operate in. I'm 75, she's 70.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of money, at least I would consider it substantial money. We have about $300K that's involved in the stock market and conservative funds.
Mm-hmm.
She has a TSP and I have American Century. However, we have some money sitting in doing nothing for a couple of years. It's her money, really.
Mm-hmm.
But she just didn't know what to do with it. And I'm wondering what we can do with that. And the second one is we don't need the required minimum distribution, but because of the amount of her retirement, between us both, it comes to almost $30,000 we have to take out this
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what can you do with the after tax to keep it rolling?
Oh, very good. Well, there's a couple things that you might consider. Do you need additional income, or is your income pretty sufficient?
No, the income is sufficient.
And it's kind of a cold-blooded question, but when the two of you are gone, who will end up being the recipient of your estates?
We have co-recipients, my son and my daughter.
Oh, very good. So your son and daughter, I'm going to guess, are in their 40s, roughly?
They are. My son's approaching 50.
Okay, very good. So in essence, despite the fact that the IRS forces you to take this money out, you're not taking that out and spending it. You're taking it out and saying, now what?
Yes.
I would look potentially at a program that of one of two forms. The one I'm most comfortable with would be that you and your wife hang on to the money, but that you invest it as if you were 45 or 50. So that you would invest it in the market, you would invest it for growth purposes, because it's not part of your plan to spend that. It's part of your plan to allow that to be inherited by your son or daughter or both.
Correct.
So I would invest it as if they already had the money, but I would keep it in your names just in case.
Okay.
75 and 70 in today's world is quite young.
Yes.
And could we need this money in 15, 20, 25 years? Answer, sure. So I would hang on to it, but I would invest it in a way that it would tend to grow rather than produce income.
Okay.
One other thing I would look at carefully is your tax bracket. If your tax bracket is low enough and permits, if there's enough room in your tax bracket, you might consider doing some conversion of your IRAs into Roth IRAs. It would actually increase your tax liability a little bit the year that you do the conversion, or years, because you can do it over a period of time. But by transforming some or all of the IRA into a Roth IRA, you will do two very good things. Number one, you'll reduce or eliminate the required minimum distribution. You don't have to take anything out of the Roth. The second thing that you would do that's very, very good is that you would be allowed then at your passing to pass on the Roth IRA to your son or daughter or both, and they would end up having some tax-free income. So
right.
that would be something that I would look at carefully with a financial advisor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe we should come down and talk to you guys.
It wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah. One last question.
Sure.
Your thoughts on annuities.
Oh, annuities are like any other financial tool. It's like any other tool in your workshop. Mm-hmm. Depending on what you're trying to do, they're either great or they're dreadful. If you're trying to create income, if you're trying to create some conservative investments, if you're mm-hmm. trying to create a guaranteed stream of cash flow, they can be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking strictly from an investment standpoint, in almost every case, their expenses are a bit too high relative to normal investment expenses. So in order for an annuity to be good for you, it's got to fit what you need. So it's neither good nor bad in and of itself. It's just good or bad for you.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
Paul, thank you so much for the call.
I appreciate it. Thank you. We'll be talking to you.
Very good, sir.
Bye-bye.
610-720-7900. We just have a couple minutes before our half-hour break. Couple things. I want to kind of wrap up a thought on this issue of annuities, good or bad. One of America's largest investment advisors, a guy named Fisher. Many of you have gotten invitations from him or materials from him. I get them about every 3 weeks. I get big packets from Fisher. And they are indeed. They manage billions. As well they should. They're spending millions on marketing. I should hope that they manage billions. But one of his most prominent ads is, "I hate annuities and you should too." You know what? God bless you. You may manage billions, but that don't make you right. And in this case, he can only ever be partially right. Because in some cases, annuities are the only thing you should consider. And in some cases, you should absolutely not consider them. So he can only ever be partially right, which, how about this? Means he's always at least partially wrong. And then there's Gene. Yeah. Is he right or wrong? It depends. I got a great question from a wonderful young lady. I'm going to share that with you momentarily. I've got an investor worried about the stock market that might tumble. Geez, nobody else feels that way. Kidding. We're going to answer those questions and a whole lot more after this on More Than Money.
Thank you.
Welcome to the home of explanation. You've got More Than Money Radio. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, 780 years of experience at your service. This Saturday morning, and a happy to be with you. Happy Father's Day to everyone who qualifies and everyone who wants to qualify. It's nice to aspire to. It's in my life, my family, absolutely the greatest blessings in my life. Yes, everyone who knows me says, how does that Diane do it? I get it. They are blessings in my life. I think I may be their, what do they say? Everybody has a cross-eyed bear. I'm their cross-eyed bear. But they are my blessings, and three wonderful daughters, and let's see, understanding their sleep habits. I doubt that any of them are listening right this moment, but if they get to hear it on rebroadcast, just remember how much your dad loves you. And our love and our prayers go out to the city of Charleston, South Carolina, the entire state, the Emmanuel AME Church, the victims of that horrendous crime. And goodness. Pure evil. And I pray, as I think the vast majority of Americans do, from the moment they heard that to this moment, we pray for those families. We pray for that church. We pray for those victims. We pray that all the evil in this world has opposition. And I've heard many well-thought-out arguments and well-thought-out statements from pastors in the last couple of days saying, we are charged with defending our flock. And does that mean security? Sure. Does that mean somebody in the congregation may be armed? Sure, absolutely. And golly, I wish somebody had been that night. But at least they were armed with their faith in God, and that they knew that this is a momentary, just split second in time of eternity, the rest of which will be far, far better place. I don't even know who sings it. John may end up Googling this, and we'll give the guy a shout out if we know. It's I've asked a couple folks. I haven't yet gotten the answer. I heard just a snippet of a country song, or as Gunther would say, country and Western, of a country song recently. The chorus says, God is great. Beer is good. People are crazy. I'm thinking that's pretty much a philosophy a guy could live his life by right there. God is great. Beer is good. People are crazy. Here is an interesting segue email from the question that we discussed with Paul. Gentleman writes, my wife and I are looking at an annuity to create a reliable income stream for our retirements. The funds we would use are inside our IRAs. Goodness, that very nearly didn't come out. We received a consumer guide that we've been reviewing prior to completing the paperwork, and it says we should not use annuities inside an IRA. Are we going to get in trouble taking this route? The answer is likely not. Well, actually, certainly not. You are not going to get in trouble for using an annuity in an IRA. Let's be very clear. You will not get in trouble, whatever that means. There's no IRS problems with it. There are no regulatory problems with it. There are no problems with it. If you determine that the annuity is the best choice for you, it is absolutely a legal investment option within an IRA. So logically, the question would be, why does the consumer guide say you shouldn't put an annuity in an IRA? In my opinion, it's for one of two reasons. Either one, it's fundamentally an outmoded consumer guide. They are considering the more traditional annuities when I say traditional annuities that of forms that were common 20 and 30 and 40 years ago, or they are trying to alert consumers to the fact that an IRA is tax deferred, an annuity is tax deferred. And so putting an annuity inside an IRA in order to get tax deferral is an incorrect use of the annuity and will end up costing you money. You won't be in trouble, but it'll cost you money. And here's why. If you were to counsel with an advisor with MTM Financial Group, the More Than Money Group, in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth, you might look at what you would consider to be perhaps a standard portfolio, an investment portfolio, perhaps mutual funds, perhaps exchange-traded funds, properly managed. The expenses that you might face in total, custodian, mutual funds, financial advisor, let's use 1.5% as a round number. It's a kind of a midpoint. In some cases, it'd be a bit less. Some cases, a bit more. But let's use 1.5. An annuity, you might face double that or more in expenses. So if you're doing it if you're willing to pay the extra expense because it's tax deferred, bad idea to put it in an IRA because the IRA is already tax deferred. But here's the key. Gentleman writes, I'm looking to create a reliable income stream for our retirement. This is what makes the use of the annuity inside the IRA appropriate. Because a standard investment program, platform, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, etc., does not provide a guaranteed lifetime income stream. Does not provide. An annuity can. Some variable annuities allow you to invest your principal pretty much as you wish and yet still provide a guaranteed lifetime income. If that's valuable to you, if that assists you in meeting your financial goals, then putting the annuity in the IRA is a great idea. I'll take it even one step further, and this is not in kind of an answer to this question. This is an answer to, it's not an answer to anything. It's in regards to a recent evolution of the use of annuities. And inside an IRA, inside a 401k, inside a retirement plan, you are now permitted to invest up to 25% of your portfolio, maximum of $100,000. And what's referred to as a longevity annuity. A longevity annuity is give me money now, you don't get anything until many, many years from now. So you're age 70, for example, you take $100,000 of your IRA, place it into this longevity annuity that will begin making payments to you at age, say, 85. Up until that point, you get zero. At 85, you start getting income. There are certain significant advantages to that. We answered questions for a couple earlier whose parents have wonderful longevity, and they expect they will as well. So would that be an appropriate tool to consider in their IRA? Sure. So a consumer report that says an IRA should never hold an annuity is simply wrong. The answer has to be it depends. And it will depend on what you're trying to do and what type of annuity you're considering. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. The ever Googleable. Sorry, that's Caddyshack. John tells me that people are crazy. The song is by Billy Currington. Thank you so much. And you've won absolutely nothing. Nothing. You get zero because you're an employee of Clear Channel and iHeartRadio and media and all that. Because I've listened to the waiver that they put on air. You can only win once every 30 days, 500 hours per year. Employees are not eligible. Of course, I've seen your work. I'm not sure you qualify as an employee. Come on. Come on. Let's be clear. Kidding. Come on. 610-720-7900. We did that one. Gene at AskMTM.com. This is kind of fun. This is a combo. Young lady writes, I'm an incredibly smart and talented young lady. Fantastic. Studying marketing and entrepreneurship in college. What should I read outside of my college text to get a good look at how business world really works? This is kind of an email, kind of not, because it's a young lady that I met with this week. Her mom and I are longtime friends, and I've been advising her mom for quite some time. And her daughter, who, if I understand right, they were going shopping. I don't think she was there for me. Trust me. Hey, wouldn't it be great to go meet this old... No, come on. Let's go shopping. Okay. But she's lovely and bright and talented indeed. So very, very smart. Going to a wonderful school. She's studying marketing and entrepreneurship and doing great stuff. She's got a bright, bright future. And yet, as good as the college is, as with all colleges, they kind of get stuck in a mode, and you're studying a textbook, and maybe the college professor wrote it, and isn't that grand? And maybe he wrote it, she wrote it, 7 or 8 years ago. Maybe it's still current, maybe not. So, is it wise if you are as this young lady is, young, talented, smart, energetic, to get a bigger view? Oh, sure. And here are a couple of the resources that I suggested to her. Inc. Magazine. I think Inc. Magazine is the preeminent reading material for anyone considering being in business today. It is a powerful, powerful tool for giving you reality checks, for telling you what's working, what's not working, tremendous success stories, some just abysmal failure stories, all kinds of resources, all kinds of perspectives, and it is literally 30 days current. I mean, it's a monthly magazine, and it comes out and gives you tremendous information. Anyone considering owning their own business or owning their own business, if you're not reading Inc. Magazine, you're absolutely missing the boat. If you're not watching The Profit, you are missing the boat. Marcus Lemonis, apparently a Pennsylvania native, as I understand it, has made tremendous money in his own business, now goes into businesses. Recently, last season, did one in Coopersburg. Pretty interesting stuff, family business down there. Third generation, as I remember correctly, and recently did one Lancaster County. And there's another one coming up, I think, in Pittsburgh, or did one in Pittsburgh. So very interesting. The gentleman has tremendous insights into the real world of running a business. And when I say small business, in some cases, these businesses have 30, 40 employees. In some cases, they have six. So it's real world. And I have been very impressed with that TV show and the ability to learn a tremendous amount about running a business. He talks about his the three P's of running a business: people, product, process. Quality people are always your number one asset. Having a great product, obviously, and then a process, a consistent, systematic way of delivering that product to your clients in a way that benefits them. And he can analyze basically any business under the sun against those three criterion. Fantastic. Shark Tank, yeah, it's tons of fun. Lots of creativity, lots of interesting stuff, some much more interesting than others. The gentleman developed an app that allows your smartphone to be a breathalyzer. That's powerful stuff. You add just a little device to the top of it that connects to the USB port. You blow into it, tells you exactly what your blood alcohol is. So there's none of this stuff of, let's see, I had three glasses of wine in like 90 minutes. That's not that much. I guess I'm okay. You don't have to guess. Take a little blow. fantastic, very creative, very technologically sophisticated, very, very successful. And then there was one the other night that these guys had developed a dog treat made out of yak milk. Oh my gosh. Lots to learn there. Folks who I would suggest are valuable to read that have multiple books, lots of materials out there. Seth Godin, maybe the most cutting edge expert available today in the field of entrepreneurial sciences, and forget science, entrepreneurial activities, endeavors, efforts. Michael Gerber has been around for a very long time. He is academically as sound as a rock. Just fantastic. His books, The E-Myth and The E-Myth Entrepreneur, are very, very powerful. And J. Conrad Levinson, he sadly departed, is deceased, but over the last 30 years has produced tremendous numbers of books, all based on the concept guerrilla marketing. Translation, marketing for small businesses done very, very inexpensively. Very, very inexpensively. So if you are, as this young lady is, interested in running your own business, or you do run your own business and you're trying to figure out how to do it better, Inc. Magazine, The Prophet, Shark Tank, Seth Godin, Michael Gerber, and J. Conrad Levinson. I would add, and if the young lady's listening, doubt it. It's a little early. Maybe she'll listen to the podcast exactly. I would add to that also a gentleman, J. Abraham, a little more. He is a pure marketing genius. So he's not so much about how to run a business or how to start a business. He's all about how to maximize the profits in a business, which is a really good thing to know how to do. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. We got 6 minutes or so before this edition of More Than Money heads off to the Radio Hall of Fame. Sorry, Rush. I borrowed that from Rush. Okay. If you have a question, we'd be happy to serve you. Gentleman writes, my investment advisor has me in a balanced portfolio. For those of you that are not 100% clear on that, balanced portfolio says there are stocks and other investments that are intended to grow. And then there are fixed income investments. People often call them bonds or cash, things that are intended to be conservative and have lower risk. And a balanced portfolio has roughly the same amount of each. So roughly half of the money is in stocks, real estate, growth investments. The other half is in cash and bonds and fixed income investments. I'm 54 and worried that if the market drops again like it does in 2008, I won't recover in time to retire. Since I'm afraid the market will come crashing down again, what should I do? Well, number one, stop listening to the advertisements on the business channels with William Devane saying the market's going to crash. Stop listening to the radio ads. What will you do the next time the market? It's not if, it's when. Hey, stop listening to all that crap. Number two, stop reading this internet stuff that's trying to scare the dickens out of you. Number three, realize something that either you've already realized or you've got the raw information, but you haven't realized. You took a hit in 08. Market was down for about 15 months. And since March of 09, it's been almost continuously up. So even if all you did was like suffer for 15 months, you have recovered and moved on nicely. And at 54, if you're retiring, say at 65, you got 11 years to go. If you saw a dip now, if the market absolutely went down right this moment, similar to what happened in 08, if the pattern repeated, no reason to believe it would or would not, but if the pattern did repeat, by the time you retired, you would have all that money back and then some. Balanced portfolio also says that if the market goes down 20% and you're imbalanced, likely you're only going to go down 10 or 9 or 8 because you're only half of your money in the stock market. So if in 08 the market went down 40%, if you only went down, say, 17 or 18, wouldn't you have felt pretty reasonably good about that? The answer is yes. That's what your investment advisor has done for you. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Tom. Tom, good morning.
Hi, Gene.
How are you, sir?
Good. I have a question about a fund group the Shelton Group, S-H-E-L-T-O-N. It's the first time I've heard of them. I was searching through Vanguard looking for a certain kind of index fund, and the only one that popped up right in the middle of all the Vanguard stuff was this Shelton fund. And I'm just not familiar with it. I was wondering if they're reputable, if they've been around a long time, if they're okay.
Tom, it's a great question, and one of the reasons I know it's a great question is that I have no idea. I've never heard of them. I can do the research as well. I will do that this coming week, and we'll find out all about the Shelton Group and how long they've been around and what they're trying to do, and if they have any kind of validity or credibility. I'll find all that out, and I'll be glad to talk about that next week on the show.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Tom, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, I got my homework to do now. Now, some of you are out there going, what? I thought this guy knew stuff. I do know stuff, just not very much stuff. No, come on, I know a lot of stuff. I've been doing this 780 years. Here's something that's very, very important to understand. There are 20, literally, I'm not kind of like making this up, like there's a billion mutual funds. There aren't. There's 27,000 of them. 27,000. So is it even humanly possible to know all those mutual funds? No. So, like, are there other radio shows that they call in and go, so, hey, I got this Billy Bob's Local Growth Equity Balance Fund. And they go, yeah, you know, I've been looking at that. And it's because they have a computer program. I would strongly suspect it's the Morningstar Office Advisor Program. It's like mutual funds on steroids. It's actually, Morningstar is rather remarkable for financial advisors. It's mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, stocks and bonds, variable annuity accounts on steroids. So these the hosts of these shows can sound like they have memorized 27,000 mutual funds worth of details by just going, really, the Shelton Group, yeah, click, click, click. And they've got 500 data points that they can wax poetic about. I could do that. I choose not to. But we'll get that information for Tom, and we'll share that with all of you next week. That'll be great fun. We just have a couple minutes left in this edition of More Than Money, which means a couple of things. If you missed part of the show, make sure you log on to morethanmoneyonline.com next week. Anytime after roughly noon on Monday, and you'll pick up the podcasts, and you can either review something that you've heard or replace something that you missed. If you heard anything on the show that caused you to go, wait a second, I would like more information about that, or I would like to learn more about that, or I would just like a second opinion. I would just like to have somebody look at where I am and tell me if I'm on the right track or if there's better things I can be doing. We're happy to offer that to you. Easy to get, by the way. You simply send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Or you can go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, and there's lots of ways to contact the office there. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way. Give us a phone call. You can do it immediately and just leave us a message. We'll get right back to you. 610-746-7007. And if you'd like to talk to a real live, wonderful, terrific, talented human being, that would be Connie or Joe. Actually, or Bill or Mark or Daryl or Diane. Everybody but me. What is that about? You can certainly call Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5, and we're happy to take your call. 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks for being part of this show. Have a happy Father's Day, everybody who applies, and we'll see you next time on More Than Money.